Born not to destroy, but to protect. And he heard them, and heeded their wisdom. Lowering his hands, the wine blood flowed over his fingers and down into the soil, spreading through every land. And where it touched the grapes, they withered and changed, the vines twisting under his anger, until where once there was a single spell grape, there now were many, their pale yellow skin tinged with the red of his blood, and the prince mages did not know how to use them. And the common people rushed to Zartim's side, trying to staunch the flow and save his life, and in their concern his anger was tempered. He smiled and touched them as well with his wine blood, and their sadness fled, and they felt peace such as they had never known.
"See this," he said unto them, "see this, how I cleft the magic of the land from the seats of power. Let nevermore the mighty craft magic and use it against those they are sworn to protect."
And then he died, and those around him gathered the wine blood from his flesh and brought others before them, and washed their hands with the blood as well. And so the peace was shared, and they praised the name of Zartim's sin-washer, who had stopped the prince-mages and saved the lands from destruction and given them peace.
This is the story we tell, we washer's kin. We travel from the Collegium School to pour the wine-blood for those who are in need of comfort, and tell Sinwasher's story over and over again, so that none will forget what we once were and how we came to be as we are now. That is the story as we tell it, and it ends there. But where legend ends, history begins, and no true story ends so cleanly. In distant Etion, in the year of Sinwasher's birth and death, the emperor himself was slain in his own bed, and the lands fell into chaos. A few prince-mages still tended their strange new grapes, but Sinwasher had spoken truly. Each vine was now limited in scope, not the mighty powers of before. And so the age of the prince-mages waned, their attentions turning to more immediate, practical sources of power and strength. But the vineyards remained, and in their place the vineyards, the vine mages, arose to master the grapes and craft them into useful things. And so were Sinwasher's words proven true once again, for vineyards must spend their entire lives learning their vines, and have no time to build armies or rule over men. And princes, busy with the ways of men, have no time to dedicate to the secret and subtle ways of vines. For nearly 1,500 years, through surfeit and famine, prosperity and plague, we have abided by Sinwasher's commands. But time passes, memories fade, and the hunger for power is a terribly human thing. And so we, even we washers, were caught unaware. Prelude. In the hills of southern Yasha, thunder had rolled through the night before, but no rain accompanied it, and the slaves were at work in the vineyards soon after sunrise. The sun had progressed to the third quarter mark when a lean figure came to stand at the edge of the yard. A freshly picked clutch of fruit rested in his work-roughened hand, and he was studying the flesh of the fruit, letting the magic deep within it speak to him and murmur of potential and promise. A soft cough sounded, overriding the gentle morning hum of insects in the grass, and attracting his attention as intended.
"Master!"
Vinart Sionio didn't turn, but out of the corner of his eye he saw the slave, diffident but urgent, his hands fisting in the rough tunic that hung over his wiry body.
"Yes."